Turn it up.
Get ready.
You're tuned in to VO Buzz Weekly.
The show where aspiring voice actors,
established VO pros,
and curious fans alike get to meet and learn.
From the mega successful talent in voiceover, hear their personal stories, find out how they became so successful,
learn their secrets, and join them at the top.
Seriously Buzzed with your hosts, Chuck Duran and Stacey J. Aswan.
Hey everybody, I'm Stacey J.
And I'm Chuck Duran.
Welcome to part two with Cedaring Fox. Are you ready?
Here we go.
So Cedaring, you were the live announcer for the 2013 Oscars, and yay! And just for people that don't know and for people that don't understand how the process works, I mean, you're not sitting in front of the stage watching it. You are in a different place with your, you know, can you take people through just kind of what that's like for you? Because I think it really speaks to, again, your ability to tell a story and be involved, even if it's all through your ear and you're not really actually in the setting.
Well, for a glamorous event, it's probably not the most glamorous job, okay?
Yeah.
But it is, well, it's the most thrilling thing to be a part of that I've ever experienced as an announcer. It was kind of high on my bucket list, shall we say. But every live announce job that I've done, from the Democratic National Convention in 2008 to the People's Choice Awards to whatever, very often you're in a trailer separated from the action by anywhere from 300 feet to two blocks. You are in your little trailer.
Right.
Right. My trailer makes this room look like the Taj Mahal. Okay.
Okay. So you're in your gown.
Yeah.
In a portalette.
Well, yes. Yes. Kind of. I did have to put on the gown for the Oscars because you never know. But, but it's you're watching on the teeniest little TV. There are three little monitors.
Right.
At the Oscars and People's Choice Awards and Democratic Convention, you know, well, they're just less monitors, basically, right. You know, but they're all about that big. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and with the Oscars, you have an incredible assistant next to you, very experienced production person. And then you've rehearsed for 4 days. And you have an army of people. You have never seen a call sheet go on for so long. It's got to be 25 pages of crew.
Wow.
It's just between the hair, the makeup, the camera, the sound, it's just a beautiful thing to see everybody come together. Like, I guess that's what they do at Burning Man, right? Everybody gets together and they make a whole city.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I know.
And then, I've never been, but...
Neither have I.
Yeah.
I've seen lots of pictures and heard
friends
stories.
Friends of ours have gone and,
exactly. So, it's a really marvelous... You marvel at the caliber of talent involved in creating a show at this level. And what you're doing for 4 days is you're practicing every different option of who is going to win. So you have your earphones on, and the directors, you hear the director chattering, and in the case of the Oscars, just one of the great directors of all times, Don Mischer. I mean, I just... cannot speak highly enough of him. He is a giant of a man with the most beautiful laugh and just runs a ship beautifully. And then he has somebody that he's been working with for a long time who's going, camera seven, camera, and they're getting every aspect of the production announced, and you have to get the announce in a certain amount of time so that by the time they get to a certain place on the stage, it's all... this, and then the assistants pointing at the thing that they've said, and the winner, for this rehearsal only, the winner is, right? And everybody's, and then camera seven screwed up. So it's like, camera seven, what the fuck? So, and then you hear, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't mean to get hysterical, but, you know. Yeah. You're all doing a great job.
I value you.
Yeah.
But now, just real quickly.
But all that's in your ear.
It's all in your ear.
Even when they say announce and you're announcing, you're still hearing whatever.
You're trying to hear the name of the movie that has won.
I mean, that's like,
it's like, okay. And then you're like looking at the, you know, and you have to start at exactly the right moment. You've got to stop at exactly the right moment. So it's... It's quite exciting. But I gotta tell
you, she loves it.
I was never ever more relaxed in a live announce situation because I don't know, I think I finally like believe totally what I teach, that you're not nervous if it's never about you. Mm-hmm. It's about the story that you're there to tell. And in the case of the Oscars, when you just see, you've been watching for 4 days all these brilliant people knock themselves out. The set designer. Can we just talk about that set?
Yeah.
The choreography. I after the first day, we had a dinner break at the end of a, mm-hmm. you know, 8-hour day. We had a dinner break.
They let you eat after 3 days?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
And I said, can I go down into the room? Because you're totally sequestered and nobody's really paying any attention to you. I said, it would mean a lot to me to be able to go into the actual Dolby Theater and just feel the space.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to feel it because I want to know how my voice is going to sound, how I can make that my living room.
Right.
And bring people into my house because that is my job, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I went down and it was absolutely the perfect moment to go down. And Daniel Radcliffe had just arrived and I was talking to the guy who designed the set, who's just a genius and a Broadway guy, and Charlize Theron came in, and so they're, you know, they're all just like, it's just like, let's put on a show. It's back to Carousel,
right?
Where everybody's going, okay, get the high note, get the high G,
right.
It is such a team spirit, and everybody's on their best game, because if anybody screws up, it's like dominoes, right?
Yeah.
So everybody's just working so beautifully. I mean, those guys were just out there practicing those dance moves forever and ever. Just every chance they got, they were up there, all of them.
But you had said earlier, I mean, if you really took in a billion people are listening to my voice right now, but you didn't get that intimidation thing, you really thought about, I'm talking to one person in their living room.
Yeah.
And
I'm talking, you can't do it. Chuck and Stacy, hi.
Yeah.
Right.
Here.
That's not gonna
You know, my the only direction I got was the very first time, because I really wanted to be laid back, and they're like, we can't hear the announcer! And I'm like, live from the Dolby Theater, okay, we'll just pump it up. But not quite that much. Live from the Dolby Theater in Hollywood and Highland.
Right.
It's the, you know, it's the Oscars.
Yeah.
But not like, it's the Oscars. It's the Oscars.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I was just trying to find that tightrope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to cut through.
You got to cut through.
It
never got another note.
Tree,
that was Thursday at 10 a.m. So, yay.
Nice.
But I really bought into what I teach, which is the story is the most important thing. And I am... You know, and the names of the people, like everybody has, especially when you're doing lists of things, you know, Charlize, you got to see the actor, you know, you got to see and give their personality.
Absolutely.
Yes,
you know, whether Seth, you know, and see their personality, right?
Yep.
And you can't, not Seth MacFarlane, it's Seth MacFarlane, you know, it's
he's
just
important.
Like, bring him. And so when you say it, that sculpture thing, They're like, got to pop three-dimensionally onto the stage, so you got to see it, right?
Yeah.
You got to see it. You got to have a specific feeling about them, and so it's always about getting more and more specific. So I was not nervous except for that first moment, as they're going 5-4.
Yeah.
I could really screw this up.
You're like, this is live. Okay,
Nah, you know, like.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. And I had a blast.
That's
I had an absolute
Love
blast.
It. Okay, so I really want to talk about the word theater. You started in 2003. You're the artistic director. Can you tell people about it, how they can get involved? I like you, have become obsessed with it. And I just love the mission behind it and love what you do and how it just has such an amazing reach. So can you tell everyone about it?
Yes.
Good.
I believe
we're off to a good start here.
Yes.
Okay.
Word theater is the simplest form of theater imaginable. It's one or two actors, usually one actor, reading, but bringing to life a brilliant short story. Mm. So years ago, when I was first here, working for the art magazine.
Yeah.
I was working with a theater called the Met Theater in Hollywood. It was started by Ed Harris and Holly Hunter and a bunch of really fantastic actors. And I had directed a play at this theater that I loved. And the play closed, and there was a series that had been started at this theater called Literary Evenings at the Met. Mm. And my friend Daryl Larson started it, and he would get Sam Shepard to come in and read cowboy poetry. And he would get William Styron, who wrote Sophie's Choice, to come in and talk about his latest book, and James Ellroy to read from White Jazz and do a Q&A. And then he started having actors come in, Christine Lotti and whoever, Deborah Winger, and, you know, people coming in and doing reading stories. And about 3 months into this, he had a whole season planned. He got his first directing job in New York, and he needed a proxy. So he looked around, and he was like, oh, Cedaring, here. Handed me a stack of stories and a bunch of phone
you
numbers.
Read.
He goes, no. He goes, you could be my proxy while I'm in New York. Just, you know, once a week. And we're live on KCRW, by the way.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. Well, it wasn't live. It was taped and then broadcast on KCRW.
Right.
So
again, she was being groomed.
Thank God. So he came back three months later, and it was the Christmas show. And do you know Joey Pants, Joey Pantoliano?
I don't.
The actor,
New
Yorker, like fast-talking, you know, he's been around for forever. And Joey has dyslexia, and I had to kind of really twist his arm to read.
Yeah.
And it was a Christmas show, so it wasn't a contemporary short story. It was an older Damon Runyon short story that he was brilliantly cast for. And it was like, we were over Good Time Charlie's over on East 42nd Street, knocking back a couple of Tom and Jerry's, right? And he shows up to this thing for the sound check, and he's got a hat like this over his face. And I'm like, Joey, no. They want to see your face, right? So he's like, you know, so the hat's like this. And so we do the first reading, great actor. Do the second reading, great actor. He's like schlumping in his seat. Third reading, great actor, intermission. Joey gets up after the intermission with his hat like this. We were over at Good Time Charlie's over on East 42nd Street. And the audience starts laughing. Hat goes up a little bit, goes, knocking back a couple of Tom and Jerry's. The audience starts laughing. The audience is like, ah, you know, slapping each other's thighs. And then the hat's up and he's like, so, Lou and Mo walk into the joint and, you know, all hell breaks loose, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, blah, blah. And I'm sitting in the front row, and I turn around, and we have this packed theater, and everybody was like slow motion, everybody going.
Oh,
that's good slow mo right there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Just dying laughing.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
This is pure storytelling.
Yeah.
And the actors got the script. They don't have to memorize it. They're just like doing every character,
free as birds,
right?
Yeah.
That kind of started this whole ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, I have had the great pleasure in my life of getting the best writers in England and America. And I get to cast great actors reading their stories.
Fantastic.
And I direct all the actors. And that has probably really helped my voiceover work because I spent a lot of time, like I was with Leslie Nichol from Downton Abbey. Mm-hmm. She plays like the lead maid, and she'll be reading on Sunday. And oh, what a wonderful, wonderful actress. So we spent over 2 hours, you know, pulling the story apart. But I remember in different, even great actors, especially because they're working in film and television predominantly, mm-hmm. where you're really just yeah. kind of like, you know, like one of the guys from Grey's Anatomy came to me and he's like, I used to think I was a good actor. I've been on this show for 8 years. I really don't know if I can act anymore, you know?
Interesting.
And you have to give people permission to fill these words.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I was working with somebody once where I really realized it was so much about these words. The story starts, my sister's voice, right? And this great actress, great, great actress. My sister's voice. And it's all about her sister who becomes schizophrenic and loses the ability to sing and ends up dying. But it's a very, very poignant story. And so I stopped her on the third word, right? and I said, think about it. When she sang, everybody stopped in the parking lot and just like, whoa. So I said, she's channeling something, right? And she looked at me, she goes, my sister's voice. You know, and it was just like, the whole thing just took off.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And so then the pain of losing that voice is just overwhelming. And so it's such great pleasure. And then the audience can't believe it. People will come up and say, I'm still thinking about that story I heard 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was because I try to really get the right actor for the thing. And the actors love it because...
the purest form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead of going, that blood sample is tainted, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
They're like doing a whole one-person radio drama.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. They get to live an entire journey in these stories, which are all feature films, basically. And
that
they
sounds
get to,
incredible.
They get to play all the characters. Come.
Cool.
Word Theater.
So how can people, I know you have at Word Theater on Twitter, but...
You just go to wordtheater.com
okay.
and sign up. We're in L.A., New York, and London regularly.
Okay.
I just got back from London.
Nice.
Damian Lewis was captaining the actors' cricket team, and they played against the authors at Wormsley, which is owned by John Paul Getty. And then all day while they're playing cricket, Ian Glenn, I mean, all these incredible actors, I had in the tent... Helen McCrory, Natasha McElhone from Californication, doing cricket readings.
Wow.
It was...
It's very refined. It's very...
But it's all about, you know, but they love it. They love it. Once they come, they come back again and again and again.
Yeah.
That's
really
fantastic.
I love it.
I have a quick question for you. I read that you teach people how to find their authentic voice. What does that mean?
Well, I have observed, I don't want to insult anyone, present company is totally excluded, but I have observed many people trying to do imitations of other people. Mm. And I don't like it. I don't like the way it sounds. I think, especially as the world is becoming more and more technologically inundated,
And it is.
That it takes the talents of today to encourage people to really live fully in their authenticity. And a lot of us need to be reminded that we are just great the way we are. And I only come to this having worked through my own insecurities, to be very honest. And it's incredible. I always say that the voice is the mirror of the soul. The eyes, too. But the voice really is, because you cannot be anywhere else but present to be really effective as a voice. And if people are being inauthentic, I recoil from it. I think there's so many different ways to do things.
Yeah.
And I think when I look at the people that have been successful in my book,
yeah,
not necessarily the people who have made the most money or whatever.
Right.
But for example, we'll talk about Don LaFontaine.
Okay? I was just thinking that.
We'll talk about Don LaFontaine. I mean, I got to do all the radio promo with Don for a long time at NBC, and we became incredibly good friends. And I convinced him to host parties for the promo announcers, because I was very involved in AFTRA. Mm-hmm. And I was always trying to get all the announcers together and the female promo announcers and all that stuff. And just like word theater, I just like bringing people together. That's mm-hmm. kind
yeah.
of my MO,
yeah.
as it were. But at the end of these parties, Don would end up with a whole bunch of people sitting around him, and he would just start doing his thing. And he would just open, well, he didn't even have to open a book. He would be quoting Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
You know,
so
and he could just, by inhabiting those words, he philosophically, I think we were aligned from mm-hmm. the way we talked about it. He would just bring himself to tears, you know, and just because he would put himself so completely into it. So although he defined a read that many people continue to do.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there's a very fine line between those who do it really authentically from the inside out and those who do it the other way around. Now, some of my very successful friends mm-hmm. that I love will say they think about this stuff very, very differently than I
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't need to do it from the inside out. I'm also not, when I was an actor, I was never a method actor. So
mm-hmm.
so it's a little bit contradictory
right,
what I'm saying.
Right.
But I just think that having come from feelings of insecurity and wanting to try on, like in your 20s, I think you're always trying to try on everybody else's. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the one great thing about getting older, and the one great thing for me about working in this business, where I'm challenged every time I get in front of that microphone, if I'm feeling insecure, I better snap out of it.
Yeah, you can hear
it. You know?
Yeah.
You know? Or if I'm in bad traffic and I show up at a session somewhere that's not at my house.
Yeah.
I gotta focus on what I'm there to do and the story that I'm there to tell, and that will take me out of it. So I'm always giving myself permission to be present and to be authentic in the story that I'm telling. And I'm only doing it my way. Nobody has to like it.
Right.
You know, the right people like me. You know, the right people like my read.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like it. Some people
mm-hmm.
are not gonna like it. I'm gonna be way too low.
Yeah.
For a whole bunch of things. That's okay. You only want to find your niche and what's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I think that's really important to stick on for a second, because I think there is that idea of I have to try everything, try to be good at everything, try to have a million different sounds, and it doesn't seem like that's you're saying, that, you know, what you do beautifully, but you're not trying to be like up here and doing your thing, because that's not who you are.
Yeah, and it's also, what can you actually accomplish? I mean, early on, I would love to do animation. So much fun. I mean, those guys are having a blast.
Yeah, they are.
Right? Mm. But if you're a promo person, you can't go 4 8 hours, you know,
yeah.
4 hours, 8 hours. It's like, no.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
Yeah. yeah.
They
yeah.
like,
we need that in 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A promo reads in mm-hmm. 20
you
minutes.
Know?
Yeah.
Because that, you know, you're always getting called and, you know, get
yeah.
back to the studio, do it right away. Need it in 5 minutes. So, yeah, but just in terms of, I just think that the joy of life is becoming more and more who you are. And that mm-hmm. the voice, and then the stories you tell with that voice, they'll become more captivating as you become more confident in who you are.
Because they're real.
Yeah.
They're real.
Yeah.
And I always,
yeah.
you know, if I have the television on and I hear somebody who's like, wow, they really said, do you feel?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, there's a human being that I want. Do you feel that? It's like, you know, if I did, you've just shocked it out of me.
I've lost that loving feeling.
So I really think it's the most important thing. And then within that, you play and you try on hats like anybody. You know, like little kids play dress up. We all play dress up with our voice. And we all, you know, play characters. I mean, there are characters even in promo, right?
There's of course.
Characters in every commercial. There's characters in documentaries, there's everywhere. There are characters.
But to have that foundation gives you the freedom to explore other things.
Yeah.
And I think it's I think it's undervalued in our society. I think I think we're a lot more about the outsides than the insides.
I always tell people to just be yourself. That's a person that's going to book the job.
That's
The more in touch you are with. And more confident you are with who you are and what you are, and just bring them to the table. You know, they're a lot more interesting than you trying to be somebody who you're not.
That's right.
So what is the difference between thinking of your voice of career, what is the difference between thinking like a pro versus thinking like an amateur?
Well.
A novice.
One of the most important things I learned in my early 20s was you've got to do what you got to do even if you don't feel like it. And that means, and the worst thing about anything in acting is having to promote yourself. I mean, you have to be disciplined, in my opinion. And I think, you know, I think of it all the time, actually, because I don't feel like getting up early, but I do.
But you do.
You know, I don't feel like keeping everything organized, but I do. I don't feel like sending invoices, but, you know, sometimes you just got to, right? I think thinking like a pro is realizing that this is a real career. There are rules of the game. There are unions that are very important, in my opinion, because nobody would have ever been paid to do anything in acting, voice, dance, if it wasn't for the people who have gone before them who got it to be taken extremely seriously. And, and to never take rejection personally, but to just audition to be remembered, show up to be remembered.
I love that. That's a good one.
Yeah, and to enjoy the process. Nobody owes you a job. And there are cycles that ebb and flow, and sometimes you're up, and sometimes you're down. And if you're in it, and it's something real for you, and you keep your chops up, and you pay attention, you got to treat it. It's just like being a, I mean, if you're a surgeon, you got to stay on top of your game.
Absolutely.
Right? So you got to keep learning and you got to keep refreshing. It's very interesting to me to see the top professionals who call and just say, you know, I just wanted to work on this a little bit. And it's like, good for you, because you're good. You're good right now.
I know. I was a... who was it? Dave Fennoy that said that he has, you know, workout groups and stuff.
Well, you guys are longtime friends.
And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, man, us pros have to stay on top of our game too.
I know.
That's and I was like, wow.
I would have given up if it wasn't for way back. Dave Fennoy, two other people, and I had a weekly meeting. And I remember being there and we would bring in our copy and I remember it's like I at the SPV. This is it's like I can't get the rest in, and they're like,
I'm so hungry. I just want some noodles.
and I remember Dave going, you're good, and the girls and they were like, you're really good. Just hang in there. Yeah. And I was like, really. You know, I'm an ugly crier, I can tell you that.
And those are the best cries. Those are the best cries.
Oh my God, but. Boy, they really, and then, there's a voiceover group. It's still going today, and
That's fantastic.
You need to You need feedback. You need to, and then people get stuck. People all of a sudden go, I haven't booked in a while. I must suck. And people get depressed. And
yeah.
You need people to go, wait a minute, you're good, but you sound a little depressed. You know what I mean?
Well, it's and then sound a little desperate.
Yeah,
sound,
and then they bring that to the read and forget about it. That's the domino effect there. Of,
that's right.
To keep that balance.
That's right.
What do you feel, what do you feel have been some of a few key things that have, you know, taken you to the amount of success that you've had in this business?
I honestly think it's the work I do reading and nurturing and seeing things and listening to music and thinking about rhythm and you gotta keep learning. Mm-hmm. You gotta keep learning, and across many, many disciplines.
Yeah.
And you really have to respect all of the people in the process. Even when it seems like the script is really not that good, or we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on, but we know that this is our job, is mm-hmm. to bring that to life. And how do you do that? So I think self-respect and respecting all the people in the process is really important.
And not questioning the must-dos, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you have to take a class, if you have to learn, mm-hmm. you have to get better. Those are non-negotiable, right?
Right. And you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah. I always tell you, take care of yourself, Stacey.
Yes,
I mean, look at the way you look, for God's sakes.
Clean up your act, Brad.
Yes. What else we have?
Well, Cedaring is very busy.
She is very busy.
We have to let her go. But people can get in touch with you if they're interested in coaching at cedaringfox.com. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I also wanted to mention that you, just very quickly, that you also donate your voice a lot to charities like the United Way. I mean, you're very generous about giving your voice to things that are important to you and you're passionate about. And I want that to be known, because I just think that speaks
you.
To your heart
that is really
and who
cool.
you are.
Thank you. I really get a kick when I get a call from one of the things that I really like the Courage campaign, which is, really been doing all sorts of stuff about Prop 8 and mm-hmm. trying to let gay people get married. Quelle horreur, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, what that this should be happening today is just
It's pretty nutty.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I donate to their big gala. And so they just called yesterday for a video. And it makes me so happy. So,
that's sweet.
Yeah.
You know what? I like you a lot.
I love you.
You are so likable. That's why she books everything. Because that smile right there and what's in here and what's
comes
in here comes through in every single read.
Well, I have to say, thank you very much. I also think the voiceover community is a particularly sweet bunch, because I think we have to think about the things that we're talking about.
Because
it's human beings and we're just the vessel. So if you're not a nice person, you're going to sound really shitty.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
Ooh, she said... We don't say things like that on VO Buzz Weekly. Mm.
Because if you're not a nice person, you might say
if
really
you're a
naughty.
Poo-poo pants.
Exactly.
I got to thank you for coming all the way down here, taking time out of your busy schedule to come and share with all of us.
Thank
it's
you,
my
Cedaring.
Pleasure. I
so
really am so pleased that we met, because I loved you guys instantly, and I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot more of each other.
I think
beautiful.
So.
See you at Word Theater.
Word Theater, baby.
The English way. WORD, because we like
words.
Theater, spelled the English way, because really.
TheatreTRE.com.
Yeah, and you have to say it like that or they won't let you in.
Word Theater.
Yeah, you have to be English when you go, right?
Tonight on VO Buzz Weekly, Cedaring Fox got buzzed by Stacy and Chuck.
Well, that concludes part two with the incredible Cedaring Fox. Great show, huh?
Absolutely.
Wow, what a nice lady. Really, really sweet, awesome information. We will be back next week for sure with another great episode of VO Buzz Weekly.
We'll see you then. In the meantime, keep up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest at VO Buzz Weekly. Take care, everybody, and just remember,
you always have time for a little buzz.
Don't just listen to VO Buzz Weekly. Watch the show in stunning HD video at VOBuzzWeekly.com, on their YouTube channel, or on the app.
VO Buzz Weekly is sponsored by Chuck Duran's
Demos That Rock.
The voiceover demo producer to the stars is now available to you.
Visit DemosThatRock.com
and take your voiceover career to the next level.
See you next time. And remember, you always have time for a little buzz.